the ones that take advantage of the fact that we actually have a First Amendment with a freedom of the press and a claim to do that in an objective manner, do they really? And you got to wonder, especially with stories like something that came out of Auburn in the last few days, I look at and like, my gosh, like most of the press decided to just go with the non-story. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to call a friend of mine. Jeff Poor is somebody who's on the show quite often, but Jeff has been around the news environment for quite a while. He's not only the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, he has his own radio show down yonder in Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show. But he's also worked with Breitbart, Lanyap, and a number of others. So let's just get him on the air. Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Good to be on, Senator. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for switching to the phone. I don't know what's going on with the techno here, but we appreciate you making time and making amends on the tech. But listen, the free press thing, I think if anybody that I know in my sphere, in my Rolodex, it's going to be you that can talk about it. But the thing that really got me about this story out of Auburn, so for those who don't know, there was a little bitty pro-Palestinian protest. Not many people showed up, but they blanketed graffiti all over the entrance gate to Auburn University, right there at Toomer's Corner. And then somehow or another, the story became two guys got in a fight. And most of the press didn't even bother talking about the actual defacing of our university. Talk about it.
Well, and I was – so Sunday happens, and we get word of this happening, and just – kind of calling around and getting all our ducks in a row. We run the story on Monday morning. No one's touched it. It was a little surprising to me that somebody writes this. I think it's an anti-Semitic trope on the gates of Auburn University, the main gate of Auburn University, iconic place where they roll the trees after winds. Everybody knows what it is. And this is up there. Now, the university came, to their credit, came and immediately pressure washed it off. But the news didn't really cover it that much. I didn't cover it at all. And I was a little surprised by that. I guess technically the very first outlet with the story was the Auburn Plainsman. However, the story, instead of becoming about this, you know, I mean, I can consider, could you imagine they put Trump 2024 on the main gate to Auburn? What do you think would have happened?
Yes. And been riots.
Yeah. So anyway, finally the media kind of catch up to it, and AL.com, WSFA, which is the TV station down in Montgomery, they get on, and then they follow the Plainsman's lead, which is a peaceful protester, a peaceful pro-Palestinian protester.
Yeah.
gets beaten by. By a counter protester.
Well, the video didn't even look that way. I mean, he was a punk with his spiked wristbands and getting in people's faces and, you know, and bowing up and making a scene. He picked a fight.
So it made it sound like it was just these Auburn redneck boys looking to go rough up a couple of them hippie liberal types down at the main gate there. And that's not what happened at all. And the media, I mean, they didn't even bother to question it. And they barely mentioned that there's this anti-Semitic slur written across the main gate of the university and didn't even think that was a big deal at all. They made it all about, they made the protagonist, whoever this unidentified, looks like a college student to me. I mean, you've seen the video and you've seen the photos,
right?
And I think that misses the story entirely of what's going on there. So anyway, you know, there's no follow up, which probably tells you what you need to know, that they didn't go try to track this guy down and say, hey, why are you? You know, they let it go. The protester that got beat up didn't press charges. There was no, like, it was just, they just operate, they got their headline. They got their headline that it was a pro-Israel or some kind of counter-protester that beat this harmless little tree-hugging peace lover up. And that's not what happened at all. And so the media do this. It's just like what Rush Limbaugh's called, drive-by media. And then there's no follow-up. There's no curiosity there. No one's talking. Finally, like, we have some photographs. What everyone was basing their reporting off of was the plainsman who took a bunch of photographs and kind of, like, spliced them up. Like, didn't put them in order or any of that on the plainsman website. And he gave an interview, or I guess his boss gave an interview to AL.com and said that it was like, you know, yeah, this guy was just beating him up. Then we get the video.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all.
Not that
and
at
you
all.
You see the kid that was, yeah, you see the photographer that was claiming it was one thing for the plainsman. It turned out he was, it looked to me like neither one of these guys are going to win Boy Scout of the Year at all. But, this was a two to tango back and forth. And I don't know about you, Senator. I don't know how you grew up. And I used to see guys fight all the time. Maybe not over something like U.S.-Israel foreign policy, but much, much dumber, more trivial things. And but it was treated instead like it was like some kind of hate crime that was committed there, and it just looked like two dudes fighting it out with the other dude kind of winning.
Let me say, I got two headlines in my hand, exact same story. One of them is 1819 News, says from the river to the sea, anti-Israel protesters vandalize Auburn University's main gate, and you also quote Coach Bruce Pearl's wife Jackie. Who talks about the fact that this is serious and it's an anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli trope. And then the exact same story is AL.com. For those who don't know, fairly liberally biased so-called news reporting. Their headline is pro-Palestinian protester punched and bloodied at Auburn on anniversary of the Hamas attack. It spends all this time talking about things that counter-protesters allegedly said. But see, Jeff, here's the thing. We see this all the time. People talk about, Trump coined the phrase, I think it was Trump, coined the fake news, moniker. But I'm looking at stuff like even today. You got a story on Daily Wire. Major media outlets didn't say boo about the fact that the first husband or the second husband, Doug Emhoff, has allegations of domestic assault against a girlfriend. If that had been a Republican, my God, it would have been nothing but wall-to-wall coverage and seeking out people who have known him all of his life. And yet the major media is silent on it. Do we even have a free press right now?
We do have a free press, yeah. First Amendment, you can do whatever you want, but it is asymmetrical. It is one-sided. I don't know what the answer is because they go out of their way to try to suppress the other side. And I guess they don't allot them the same First Amendment rights, but I think that they view them as first. I mean, you heard what Hillary Clinton said yesterday, right? And that it's misinformation, or we need control, or whatever it is. But I don't think it hits like it used to. These media outlets, we don't trust our institutions, and I don't know how long a society can function with this distrust of medicine, of Hollywood, of high finance, of the mainstream media. But that's what's going on.
Yeah, that is what's going on. Let me ask you this, speaking of that media thing. So CBS, which famously hosted the most recent vice presidential debate and had the two harpies who were moderating it, fact-checking J.D. Vance, CBS is kind of up in arms because Trump has decided not to do the 60 Minutes interview. And they made a big thing. And yet today we see that in the online posting of the interview of Kamala Harris, in which she word saladed her way across the entire interview, they've actually edited it down to make her word salads less, burdensome. Should Trump have done the interview? Should he have gone with it? Or did he cancel because it was an expectation that there was not going to be fair play?
They've got to start cutting these media outlets off. They got to. The only way Republicans will never win another election if they operate on this assumption that these are objective arbiters who do these media interviews, that they're not. They just are one-sided. And you were talking about Doug Emhoff and the allegations there, but we went wall-to-wall with the goofy lieutenant governor of North Carolina, didn't we? And we're still hearing about that.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I'm just saying, it's up to the Republicans not to talk to these people, not to do their debates, not to do their stupid TV shows. And I mean, you know, if we're gonna have this, if we're gonna have this balkanization, where you don't ever see any serious Democrats go on Fox News, that we don't seem to see serious Republicans on all the rest of them. And that, I mean, I know that that's, you know, well, that's not good for democracy. Well, so what? I mean, I'm just, we can't have two rule books. We can't have two sets of rules in this country, because you have one side that's always going to have an advantage, and that's always going to, I think, personally, put the country back.
Well, so let me ask you this one last question here before we run out of time. There's all this talk about Kamala did a, and I'm not a little you know, teeny bopper girl, so I've never seen this podcast called Call Her Daddy. But Kamala did the Call Her Daddy podcast, which apparently is a really, really big deal in podcast world. Was that a good move, a real move, or just a fluff move that's going to blow right by? Is that the wave of the future, is to do non-mainstream media podcasts, but they're not always hard hitting? What do you think?
They're desperate. They're in trouble. And the people can tell you what, I mean, it may be close. It may be a very close race, but it should not be this close. And that's why you're seeing this flurry of interviews from her, be it Call Me Daddy, Howard Stern, The View, 60 Minutes. There'll be more of that. They're just looking where they can get a friendly audience. I don't think it's necessarily the format, but just something just big enough to where people will tune in and they know that she won't get beat up by a hostile interviewer, because she's, I think, looking at it, the numbers, I think their internals, and they know that, I mean, they could still win the popular vote, but they're in trouble in the Electoral College. And at this stage of the game, Senator, I mean, that's just what it looks like. It looks desperation to me.
Yeah, it does. It reeks of desperation. All right. Well, brother, listen, I knew you'd bring some perspective, but I appreciate you making time today. And in fact, Grand Council tomorrow. Hope to have you on then too, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Jeff Poor from 1819 News and host of the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile. We appreciate you. See you tomorrow. Wow, it's just something to watch. Go ahead and take us to a break there, JP. But man, listen, the idea that there can be opinion-based media, sure, we're an opinion-based media. The question is, if you represent yourself as news, what are you going to do with it? Well, right now, it seems to be skewed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, JP, you got to talk to me here, man. Call Her Daddy podcast. What the heck is that? Is that, that's a thing?
That is unfortunately a thing, yes.
Am I an old fogey that I don't know this? Is it just, I mean, it's not my genre, obviously, I guess.
It's very popular amongst, you know, the girls in my generation. I'm not sure if it's that one that is related to Barstool, but I know there's one similar related to Barstool with it. But yeah, I mean, it's just really a girl talk podcast. But
girl talk,
yeah.
So it's a pure girl talk podcast. Why is it called Call Her Daddy?
Because that's unfortunately how this generation, and I say this generation meaning my generation, that's unfortunately, you know, That's the title that brings in that, you know, type of people.
Is it influential?
It's very popular, and I know it's very popular amongst girls my age, yes.
Okay, so is it the kind of thing I don't know, like the Swifties, like yes. Taylor Swift endorses, and so, oh my gosh, I got to do what Taylor says.
Yeah.
Is it that kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Say. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right, then let me ask you this. So Kamala Harris goes on there. And appears and has a little rap session, you know, with whoever it is that hosts Call Her Daddy. Is that the kind of thing, do you think, that will actually bring votes to Kamala Harris?
I don't think it'll bring any new ones. I think it just doubles down on the young female voter base that she already has. I don't think like what Jeff said, I think it's a desperation move on their end.
Okay.
I don't see it doing very much.
So, like, you're not sitting up on Saturday nights watching Call Her Daddy yourself?
No. Certainly not. They don't, you know, it's sort of like the brain rot type of content, in my opinion.
Okay.
Girls sit around and talk about gossip and
stuff. So this is total brain candy.
Yes.
For girl talk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not meaningful, but yet nonetheless influential.
I would say influential, yeah, but I don't think it's gaining any new voters. I feel like most of the people who already watch Call Her Daddy are already going to vote for Kamala Harris, whether she's on it or not.
If so, indeed they're the ones who even go vote.
Yeah, that too, yes. So.
Okay. So, wow. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you this then, just if you can think of one off the top of your head. If there was, all right, you're a 20-something guy, right? Red-blooded American and a conservative. If there's a podcast out there that you're like, dude, if that guy is going to have, Trump or, for that matter, Kamala Harris on, that means something to me. Which one would it be?
It's funny, is the couple that I would say, Trump and Vance, have already been on. You know, the Sean Ryan podcast would be one for sure.
Okay.
Both Trump and Vance have been on that one. Funny enough, there's a comedian named Theo Vaughn, which me and my friends love. We all watch his podcast. Trump went on his podcast, and it was actually a very good podcast. It talked a lot about policy, but those sort of like Theo Vaughn and Sean Ryan off the top of my head. Obviously, a Joe Rogan would be cool. I don't think that's going to happen, but those are the ones off the top of my head. And it's funny I say that because they've been on them, so they know what they're doing.
Well, I mean, now Joe Rogan's had Dana White from UFC on, hasn't he? I think he has.
In the past, he has. He hasn't recently. But I know Joe Rogan has
said. He's had Elon Musk on. I know that.
Yes. Joe Rogan has said that he's not interested in supporting either side. So I don't think he will be having either party on, and I know he was an RFK supporter himself, so I don't think we'll be seeing either Kamala or Trump on Joe Rogan.
Interesting. All right, well, as Right Side gets more into podcasting, we'll just see. But it won't be called Call Her Daddy. I know
no.
that.
You can count on that.
There will be no Call Her Mommy or Call Her Daddy or anything like that in this land that we call Right Side. Let me get a few text messages before we hit the top of the hour. I got a brand spanking new texter, Mark from Decatur. If you can plug him in, I'd appreciate it. So, oh, you already did. I see it. Mark from Decatur is now plugged in. Welcome to the text lines, Mark. He says, Charlie Kirk has said that there are 73 million Christian voters that are not planning to vote in the presidential election. Christian pastors need to get the message out in the next 4 weeks. Yes. Yes, I agree. And that is absolutely true. You know what? There is, I understand how a pastor might not want to say, I endorse this candidate. I get that. But there is every reason for a pastor to endorse Christian principles. And one of those is called being a good steward. And there is, in my opinion, you are missing out on the opportunity to steward your own country if you choose not to vote or just neglect not to vote. Mark from Decatur, great text. And pastors, churches, church members, Christians, vote your faith. Get out there and get her done. All right, we got more of that, and we're going to switch gears for too long. Going to do another dipper here. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number 3 on a Taco Tuesday. Hey, listen, it is 4 p.m., so we're gonna break from the dippers for a minute and get us an update. You may recall there's a group of Navy guys, class of 83 from the Naval Academy. They are running what they call the Bamarama 500. They are literally biking 500 miles across the state of Alabama to raise money for veterans' causes. And one of those guys, James Sherrard, has been our point man, giving us the update. And he's on the phone right now, I think on his bike right now. James Sherrard, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil. It's been a long day.
Are you still paddling?
About 4 miles. Say again?
You still paddling?
I'm still paddling. We're about 4 miles outside of Auburn now. We just had a nice rest stop, hydration and stuff, at Hodges Vinery in Waverly, Alabama.
Nice.
And the Lee County Sheriff's Department met us there. So we're being escorted the last 15 miles into Auburn with a police car with flashing red and blue and a sheriff's car behind us with flashing red and blue.
Well, listen, I know that you guys also went through the Talladega National Forest, which is a beautiful, beautiful area, but that's also a mountainous area. How was that today?
right, I'm going to try to give you some good radio here, but we just started the climb. So, but nothing like the climbs in the Talladega National Forest. Those were, they were hard. We have some very experienced cyclists on our team, and they agreed. Those were hard climbs. We did 5,500 miles of climbing today, and that's a lot for one day.
Wow. Wow. Wow, wow. So,
hey, before 55, I forget,
yeah, go ahead.
Before I forget, I forgot to mention yesterday, if you want to know about our ride, our website is navy-cycling.com, and we're putting a blog up every evening, a long one. You can read about where we are and what we did, and then there's all kinds of pictures and videos that you've seen them.
Yeah, yeah. And,
so everything's on navy-cycling.com, and if you feel like you want to donate to one of the veteran charities we're supporting, there are links in there, too.
Well, listen, man, you go enjoy the most beautiful little town on the plains. Auburn is a great place to stay, and I'm glad you guys are just about done with this leg. I know you are, too. But tomorrow, give us an update on where you're going, and it looks like you're going to have the most perfect weather you could ask for on this last leg of the journey.
Yeah, I hope so. It looks good so far. Thanks for the time.
All right, James. See you, man.
Bye.
That is so funny. He is literally, but he so listen. Have you ever spent time at Mount Cheehaw, that area?
I have not. No.
Oh, so first of all, it's not the Rocky Mountains, but it is the highest point in the state of Alabama. And they just what he was saying there was they just did 5,500 feet of climb today because it was filled with switchbacks, and it was, you know, it's lots of elevation, and it goes to, I want to say it's almost 3,000 feet AGL. I've forgotten what it is, but above ground level. But the reality is, they had to go from, you know, low level near the river to, you know, climbing up, and then it was just nonstop. So yeah, that was some more kind of a ride today, I feel certain. But these guys, I mean, they're plugging away. So yeah, if you want to check them out, navy-cycling.com, that's navy-cycling.com is their website. And I'm getting a kick out of, having them, you know, call in and give us the update on the group, every single trip. And I love the fact that and he said it yesterday, there are several of the riders who have done this in other states and around the nation, and even from shore to shore, from Pacific to, you know, Atlantic, and they said that they've been blown away by the reception in the state of Alabama. That's just nothing but good right there. All right, listen, I'm gonna wind down this dipper. I'm still on the Free Press. I'm going to close this out. So there's a lot of talk right now about Kamala did 60 Minutes. Yay! It's about freaking time. And I'll be honest, it appeared that the host on 60 Minutes, and I've forgotten which one it was, what his name was, but the host on 60 Minutes did a decent job of sort of holding her feet to the fire. And she did a word salad after a word salad, and there were times when it was a freaking salad bar. It was a buffet, man. It was like, how do we even decipher what just got said? It has not gone well for her until it got posted for later consumption. Because it does appear now that the 60 Minutes version on YouTube has edited down her word salads to make them less nonsensical. Is there any reason why Trump should have done this interview? Because right now he's being accused of having broken long-standing tradition because we have interviewed every presidential candidate, both Republican and Democrat, for 60 years on 60 Minutes, and Trump canceled on us. Well, keep in mind, this is the same CBS that just hosted the vice presidential debate. And apparently what he's realizing is there is no way to get fair play on some of these major mainstream networks. As proven by the fact that we are now watching the edited version of Kamala Harris doing a horrible job on a real interview become the legacy. That's just unconscionable. And if you're going to call yourself a news outlet, an allegedly objective news outlet, then how about do a better job? The other thing that you look at is what the press is saying about the fact that she's doing interviews, and yet they are stuck absolutely in the fact that she is doing a lot of softball interviews and calling them wonderful. I don't know if it'll make a difference that she did the thing we talked about a while ago, the call her daddy podcast. Yeah, it might. But the reality is there was not going to be a really hard moment in there for her. There was not going to be something that would keep her, you know, honest and make her own up to things she could have done better or what she would like to see or why she hasn't done or will she ever. There was none of that. It was going to be things like, is there a law somewhere that you know of that says what men should do with their bodies? Come on. The answer to that is yes. It's called selective service, where we have to register for the draft. How about that? But no, it's all about abortion and just happy things and puffy stuff. Now she's got a few others, but today she's on The View. Did you see the love fest on The View the other day with Joe Biden? It was actually to the point of gross. And so the idea that Kamala's going to go on there and have to deal with anything, all they're doing is they're getting fluffy vibes. So this is the vibe tour. And I'm questioning whether or not this is because they recognize they can't keep hiding. They've been using the basement scenario that Joe Biden ran on in 2020. And now they're suddenly realizing that we better do more because we're hurting here. I agree with Jeff. I think that there's a pretty solid internal polling that says they're worried. And so we got to get her out there. Got to get her out there. Find it. And they're also doing the blitz at the end. If you notice, they didn't spread it out. If there's any damage control to be done, they want less time to have to deal with it.
Well, what I'm interested to see is, Tim Walz will be on Fox News this week. So I'm very interested to see how that will go.
Who's going
to
interview him, you know?
I don't know. I haven't seen the exact show he'll be on, but you know, during this week of, like you said, they're trying to get them out there at the end because I think they're realizing that hiding Tim and Kamala is hurting them. I'm very interested to see how Tim Walz will do against actual hostile questioning and press, you know, being pressed on issues.
And it doesn't even have to be hostile. I mean, it doesn't have to be a gotcha questions.
I guess hostile is not real questions. I guess hostile is not the right word, but firm and actually having follow up questions. Which it's funny how that is labeled, you know, quote hostile, when that's really just doing journalism. But the quote supposed journalism they've been partaking in has just been fluffy questions with no follow up. So I'm interested to see how he reacts to, you know, them actually pressing him and having follow-up questions, because he's shown that even in the debate where it was favorable moderators that he didn't do well when he was pressed on, you know, the Tiananmen Square issue.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So.
Well, it looks like, and I didn't even catch it, so I missed this, and I need to go back and look at it now. But apparently he was on Fox News Sunday with Shannon Bream, and it sounds like she wore him out on Sunday. So Sunday afternoon. That would be when I was filming my podcast. but yeah, so I need to check that out because there may be some good sound bites in the mix of it. You know, listen, the bottom line is this. If you got to say you have a free press, if you got to say you have a real press, if you're going to say you have a press that's objective, then it has to be objective. I do not mind anybody from any position asking the real questions. What I can't stand, though, is when they will treat one side different than the other. Now, this is an opinion show. We are a solid conservative and just plain right, right? That's who we are. But we advertise it that way. If somebody comes on the show, they know what to expect. We have a conservative viewpoint, a conservative worldview on this show. But when you look at 60 Minutes, when you look at, you know, moderators for a debate, when you look at, you know, objective news presentation, and you realize that they won't say anything positive about Trump, but they will glowingly talk about things that Kamala Harris does, you have to begin to realize that there is not a level of fair play in the so-called free press. And that's something, it's a crying shame. It is. It's a First Amendment right. At the very least, though, stop being so disingenuous by pretending that you're an objective news source. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right there. We'll come right back. I'm going to do Whoopin' Wokeness next. Yeah, there's some fun stories in this one. You guys are going to want to stay tuned to this. So, yeah, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.